Come, Holy Spirit, and make us present in your presence. Amen. First things first, we're back to bread. You've been here for the past two or three Sundays, you know we've been doing bread. Professor William Willimon describes a moment of telling a friend about the movie, The Gospel of John. It is a Canadian movie which goes through the entire gospel, word for word, from start to finish, and lasts about 3 hours. It turns out that his friend and his friend's wife had already seen the movie also. Apparently, midway through the movie, the friend's wife turns to the friend, looks at him and says, "Will Jesus ever shut up? I am this, I am that, I am bread, I am light, I am life." Yes, we are back to bread. And if there was ever a reason not to interpret the scriptures literally, this gospel surely must be one of them. For any literalists out there, please take note. The Apostle John's Jesus is not talking about flour and water and salt or any kind of dough. And yet, he is. "I am the life-giving bread," Jesus says, "that comes down from the realm of light and love." By the time this gospel was written, the small sect of Jesus' followers had been kicked out of the synagogue, and they were trying to make sense of their lives, how their lives had changed since the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Does that sound familiar to you? Does to me. Trying to make sense out of an email that came this Wednesday that said we all got a social distance again. Well, you know, they had heard about water being turned into wine, 5,000 folks had been fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they'd even heard about Jesus walking on the water. They heard of the day of Pentecost and the rushing wind and the flaming tongues of fire, and they understood there was a new created order coming into being. In Genesis, the Spirit says, "In the beginning, God created." And John's community heard, "In the beginning was the expression of God, the Word, who became a living body and moved into the human neighborhood." Conscious energy, the essence of what it means to be alive, becoming flesh and blood like us. As one biblical scholar has noted, this gospel is written for insiders whose allegiance to Jesus has superseded everything that has come before in their lives, even family and friends. Question: does your relationship with Jesus supersede everything and everybody else in your life? Yet. Those early followers of Jesus would have understood these words to signify that they became what they ate. Jesus promises, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have God's life, and I will raise them up at the last, at the end of the ages." The earliest followers then would make sense of the disruption in their lives as the inbreaking of the realm of God. What do you make of this disruption in our lives? What if this disruption is an inbreaking of the realm of God? What if your image of God is too small? What if it no longer works? You see, they saw themselves as living into a new dimension of life. What if we are moving into a new dimension of life? What if it's something we don't know? And this is important because the center of the current dimension of life no longer holds, if it ever did. The Greek word that's translated here for to eat is trogen. And the English word for that is to gnaw, G-N-A-W, to chomp, to chew, to use your teeth. No taste testing of Jesus will do. He had a little bit of Jesus, that ain't enough. The implication is one of consuming to actually assuage hunger. Not because it's simply the pleasant thing to do. Let's do it because it's the right thing to do. Jesus is inviting his hearers to consume him, to become one with him, and to find their identity in him, to become what they eat. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we eat the body of Christ to become what we eat. We ain't here to play. Not in the midst of over 600,000 citizens, fellow citizens, who have left the earth. And we're sitting around here in masks and social distancing. Playtime is over. We are here to become what we eat. By eating the bread and drinking from the cup of his life poured out, we come into full union with Jesus, and thus with the one whom he called Father, the source of all that is. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a pretty big deal. Consider, y'all, the power that lies within us when we receive this truth as real. We sit around waiting for somebody to do something. It's already in us. The divine spark is already there. Back in the old days when I was confirmed, one was expected to reflect on one's words and actions during the previous week in silent prayer when you came into the church. You remember that? You used to go into church and you'd immediately pray. This time between you and God was taken to remind you of the serious yet joyful and sacred nature of worship, of eating the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, in a culture where everything is demystified and explained away to the nth degree, in order to control it, of course, teachers are no longer given like that, but I believe they're crucial. The dimension of life that we're living in is not the one that's going to get us out of this stuff. It is crucial that we become the true body of Christ within and for the world. Now, why do you think it's so hard to believe the promise of Jesus? That our time of fellowship at this table will make us one with him. How come it's so hard? Why do we resist the promise, you think? Could it be because we simply don't believe it? Or maybe it's because of our hubris and our belief that we can fix our own problems and the nations and our worlds. So who needs him and his way of being anyway? Maybe it's just because we're afraid of the unknown. And what may happen if we really take Jesus seriously? And after all, the devil you know, for many, is better than the devil you don't know, right? Do you want to live out the life of God in you? Do you want to know yourself more powerful than you see yourself now? Mostly, though, I think we don't believe Jesus because we lack Lady Wisdom. Like we heard Kristen reading this morning, we heard her offer her own invitation in the first reading to eat at her table. But the simple are immature. They live and die without insight, she says. They fail to walk their life's path with meaning. And later, the Apostle Paul says wise people take care in how they live, and they understand the will of God as they live. Y'all, the will of God is only one thing. The will of God is to be one with us, that we live out God's life in our humanness, and that God lives out the divine life through us. Jesus gave up his physical life so that we might live the divine life in union right here and right now, and not when we close our eyes for the last time. All the way to heaven, my friends, is heaven, if you can receive it. Every child born into the world is destined to live a life of not a wealth of things, but a wealth of wisdom and meaning. Not only to answer, who am I? But why am I here? That's the reality of the baptisms this morning. We will soon witness each little one. Not only who am I, Haley, not only who am I, Kristen?
Katie.
But why am I here? Jesus says, eat me and become what you eat. Don't try to be loving, become love. Jesus says, eat me and become peace. Eat me, become justice. Eat me, become joy. Eat me, become fearless. God ain't scared of COVID. Become fearless with hope, because there will be a culmination of goodness and light at the end of the ages. I'm just saying that for those of y'all waiting on the rapture. I'm not sure it's going to really happen. On the home front, we may feel like we've taken 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Since we're back to full masking and social distancing and no more singing and deep pockets of continuing resistance to COVID vaccinations. But I want you to know this, my friends. The one within you, the core light of the Creator within you, is greater than anything and everything else in the world. Believe that. We've come here today to give thanks for all the ways that we are nourished and sustained by the bread from on high. Because it ain't just what we eat, but it's the joy of having a new baby. It's the delight and laughter of old friends, celebrating new birthdays, having a martini with a friend. Where's my girlfriend? She's out there. You and me, honey, you and me. That's what sustains us. And God gives that to us. The manna that God always provides for the world. We come to eat the body and blood of Christ and to become the one whom we eat. Amen.